I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. In our study of 2 Peter, we now look at chapter 3. And I believe the objectives in studying this chapter, first of all, is to be reminded that there will be scoffers of the promise of the Lord's coming. And also we are to review the catastrophic events to occur when the Lord returns and the promise of new heavens and a new earth. Also to note Peter's estimation of Paul as a brother and his epistles as scripture, and to carefully consider the twofold admonition at the end of the epistle, in other words, the summary. Well, in this final chapter, Peter seeks to stir up his readers by reminding them to give heed to the words of the prophets and apostles of the Lord, especially as it relates to the promise of his coming. He talks about, for in the last day scoffers will come who conveniently forget that the word which tells of the judgment day by fire was also the same word which brought about the destruction of the world by the flood. You see that in verses 1 through 9. And when the day of the Lord does come, it will be unexpected like a thief in the night, verses 10 through 13. And we should view the long suffering of the Lord as opportunity for salvation, even as Paul wrote in his epistles of such things, verses 14 through 18. Well, the scoffers will come, and we've been studying somewhat about these scoffers and these false teachers and prophets. Well, Peter goes on to talk about this, and we pick up our study in 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read now through verses 1 through 4. Peter says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Well, notice in these verses 1 through 4, 2 Peter is written for us to remember, according to verse 1, the words of the prophets. And this would be the Old Testament. And also we see that in verse 2, he talks about the apostles, the things mentioned by the apostles. This would be the New Testament. He says to remember this first, there will be scoffers or mockers. These are those who make fun or ridicule the words of the prophets and the apostles. And these are people who make fun of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, are those who, some people will actually tell you, you can't read the Old Testament, that's past, and actually, that is false. And that's what Peter's warning of here. We must look at the entire Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction. And as we think of that, we also need to think of the fact that the Old Testament is Scripture. That the Old Testament was given by the inspiration of God. And those people who tell you that you cannot go by the Old Testament, the Bible says they are false teachers. They are false prophets. You're not to pay attention to them. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying that they are false teachers and false prophets. And you also have those people today who say you can't go by the New Testament. These also are false prophets and false teachers. They've gone so far as to write their own Bibles, their own commentaries of, once again, they call the inspired Word of God, but they're only man's thinking. They're not going by the Holy Scriptures. Peter says that these people will come, and they're here now. They're among us as I speak today. Don't listen to them. Listen to what God says. Well, these scoffers, according to Peter, live in open sin. In Jude chapter 1, actually there's one chapter, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust." Once again, Jude even speaks about the ungodliness of the last days, how that the false prophets and false teachers would come, and they would tell you, forget about the Bible and listen to what I have to say. According to the first part of verse 4, it talks about mocking, it talks about ridicule. And in other words, they question the promise of the Lord's coming. It says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, I believe these scoffers declare that nothing has changed since the prophets declared the Lord would come. And I believe these scoffers were actually declaring that the Lord had not even come the first time, not even been born of a virgin, that was declared by the Old Testament prophets. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And we see the first promise of the coming of the Lord in Genesis 3:15 even. And it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," talking about the Satan, about Satan and the woman, "and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That's, of course, the first promise we have of the coming of the Savior. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Some people today will tell you that that is not true, that the world just happened, that things just came about. And I believe you have even preachers and prophets, false prophets and teachers standing in the pulpits today who advocate, well, we can't go against science, that science says the world is billions and millions of years old and there was just a big bang that happened one day and everything came into existence. Well, that's false. The Bible teaches us that God created everything in 6 days. That will be a study for a later time. But notice that John and the other apostles declared about Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And John 1:14 tells us who the Word is. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So these same people who say that Jesus is not coming, well, where is the promise of his coming, they say in verse 4 here, that Peter is saying, they're asking, where is the promise of his coming? And I believe it's not only, these people are not only saying, well, you know, it's been promised for years that he's coming again. I believe they're saying he didn't come in the first place. Well, the Bible tells us plainly that he did, that he was promised in the Old Testament, and it came about that we see it did happen in, we read further in the New Testament that he was born of a virgin. And then we look into verses 5 through 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of." They don't listen. They are willingly ignorant of that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter's saying here, I believe, to remember the world was destroyed before. He's giving a warning here. And the scoffers are ignorant. They're without knowledge. They don't want to learn. Why? They purposely or willingly do not study God's word. We are to study God's word according to what God tells us. These people refuse to take God's word for creation. Once again, in verse 5, these are evolutionists. I've already made reference to them according to the creation of the world. And they make fun of the flood. They say that there was no worldly flood, world flood, that it was just a temporary thing that happened in a certain region. And they are saying that there is no judgment, that judgment is not coming. But I guarantee you that one day judgment is coming. The Bible says that these people who are teaching these things who are unsaved will stand one day in the presence of Almighty God, and the judge himself, who is Jesus Christ, by the way, he will say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Some of these people who are saved who are declaring these things, the Bible says that their works will be burned up, yet they will be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, God's judgment will come upon the unsaved, and his judgment will come upon the saved, not that the saved will be lost, but the Bible says that there are rewards that will be given, and they will suffer loss. These people who are not going by the word of God, it's just, you've heard the old saying that they'll be saved by the skin of their teeth. In other words, they've done everything they can to go against God's word because they're ignorant and they're blinded by their own lusts and everything. Doesn't mean they're not saved. If they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are saved. But the Bible says judgment is coming for them as well. And as we look on in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Well, some would read into this that the creation, once again, took thousands of years. But that's not what the Bible's teaching here. It means here that God is not hindered by time. God is not controlled by time. Man looks at time. God does not look at time. Eternity, when we think of eternity, we think of the future. But we're living in eternity. There is no past, present, and future with God. It's all present with him. And we need to understand that as people try to turn things around in the scriptures that they are wrong. They're false teachers. They're false prophets who are going against the word of God. They lack knowledge. God is not controlled by time according to verse 8, and God's promises are sure according to verse 8. And some men judge God by their own inability to keep promises according to verse 9. And God postpones his judgment. He postpones it because he's long-suffering toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's long-suffering. God wants no one to die without being sorry for their sin, according to verse 9. Do you know him today as your Savior? Are you sorry for your sin? Are you sorry? Do you know that you're a sinner? God sent his Son into this world to save you. If you'll say, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Please save me. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to serve you here, and I want to serve you in heaven. I want to see you one day personally. I love you today, Lord. Save me for Christ's sake."
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.